Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Heather's Sixth Sacrament meeting today. Bishop Alan Misbach is presiding at this meeting as asked that I, Brother Beckstead, conduct today. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to everyone this New Year's Eve, as well as all those that are visiting or here for the first time. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us. I'd like to also welcome home Elder Ben Ivy, who's returning from the Tahiti Papiete mission. There we go. I was practicing that. By way of announcement, a few important things to note. First of all, next Sunday we will be having church at 11 a.m. as the new year comes in. We will all be able to sleep in a little bit more on Sundays. So 11 a.m., the block will starting next Sunday. Please remind your neighbors or anyone who's away that's the time to show up next Sunday. Also, this is the last Sunday for tithing declaration. So all those who haven't had the opportunity to briefly meet with the bishop, please come by today after the block of meetings and meet with him to declare your tithing status to him. It's a great opportunity. Also, this Friday, there will be the High Priest's Quorum Dinner on Friday for all high priests and single sisters, high priests and their spouses. Looks like a wonderful program. There's flyers out in the foyer. Again, Friday at 6:30 at the Stake Center. Also, there will be no family history class today. And we will be also holding normal meetings for the third block today with no meetings last week. We're going to have the fourth Sunday lessons and everything today for the block. All right, with that, we will open today's meeting by singing hymn number 217, Come Let Us Anew, and then the invocation will be offered by Brother Rich Lewis.
Father in heaven, we are grateful to be gathered here this morning. We're grateful for this beautiful morning that the sun is shining. We're grateful for this Sabbath that we might be able to come here and worship thee. And we'd ask that thou please help us to be mindful of our Savior this day and be mindful of him as we partake of the sacrament and we might be able to remember those covenants which we've made to thee. Please bless us with thy Spirit today and help us to show love and kindness to those around us, and help us to be able to have thy Spirit in this meeting. And we pray for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
The bishop has an item of business.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Could I have Kate Lewis join me here at the podium?
Stand right there so the beautiful flowers don't block you.
We're really happy to have the Lewis family join us. They just moved in December. And Kate has reached the age of 12, so we would like to recognize and congratulate her for graduating from primary and for advancing into the Young Women program. So congratulations, Kate. Thank you.
Do you have an item of ward business as well? The following member has been called to a new calling, and we propose that they be sustained. Will the following please stand if they are present? Sister Cindy Clark, as a primary worker. Those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. Those opposed, if any, may also manifest it. We will now prepare for the sacrament by singing hymn number 181, Jesus of Nazareth, Savior and King, after which the sacrament will be administered to the congregation. Thank the young men for the reverent manner in which they administered the sacrament today. We have an exciting program today. Our first speaker will be Elder Ben Ivey. After Elder Ivey, we will sing hymn number 249, Call to Serve. And then our concluding speaker will be Brother Reed Anderson. Elder Ivey.
Okay, so we're going to try that again. Normally, if we're in Tahiti, everybody will say Yorana after I say that. So let's do it again. Okay. Te mau te, te mau tua hine, Yorana. Voila. Okay, there we go. So that was something I found a little bit weird when I got back from my mission. Everybody in Tahiti, when you give a talk, you say bonjour or you say Yorana, and everybody in the whole audience will just say Yorana, and it's super funny. Anyway, so I got given the subject of how did my mission change me, and how did a mission change the lives of others and things like that. So I was thinking a lot about this subject all throughout my mission, how I would finish with my homecoming talk, how I would get back and tell everybody how I did on my mission. And I just had lots of different those different emotions, different feelings about going on a mission. And the first thing I'd like to talk about is why I went on a mission. The first reason why I decided to go on a mission was to learn. I had seen my brothers who had went on missions, who had done everything to get on a mission, and who came back, and they learned a lot. And they became different people. They were more talkative. They could hold a conversation, whereas before they weren't very talkative people at all. And that was something I wanted very, very badly, because I couldn't talk at all. I remember my farewell talk, I was staring at the podium the entire time. So this was a big experience for me. And after I got on my mission, I realized that my motivation had to change, because being on a mission just to learn is not a great motivation, and it won't get you through your entire mission. Because you need to have more of a base of happiness, just a base of the spirit being with you. And so one of the biggest reasons that I stayed on my mission, or that I wanted to continue my mission the entire time, was because of the smiles of people that that I got to teach, that I got to help with their lives, and an influence. And it's a little cheesy to say that it's smiles, but it is one of the best experiences to teach somebody at the beginning of your mission. Watch that person go into the waters of baptism. Watch that person continue their lives and change little by little after an entire year. And then you get to the point where you can watch this person go to the temple and be sealed to their wife or their husband for eternity. And I got to see that two or three times on my mission, because there's a lot of people that really want to change their lives on their mission, in the mission of Tahiti. So I remember one story at the beginning of my mission. I was in Bora Bora, which is pretty exciting, but I got to have the opportunity to teach somebody who was very, 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 very in the world, we could say. And he was with his family one day, and he decided to go to America, because he was actually a drug dealer, and he decided to leave to America with all this money he had made dealing drugs. And he left to America. And as soon as he got back, he realized that he wanted to stay with his family longer than just here on the earth. And we met him at the church that day, that Sunday after he got back from America. And he came up to us, me and my companion, and he said, "I'd like to follow the discussions." We were very appalled. We were kind of taken aback, and we just kind of looked at him for a second, because that doesn't always happen. It almost never happens, actually. We are always the ones that have to start the conversation. But he decided to start the lessons, start taking lessons, and to change his life. And he went from the biggest drug dealer in all of on the whole island of Bora Bora to becoming somebody that was very nice, very touching, and very helpful with every situation. And his first calling was young men's president, and then he became elders quorum president just after that. And I'm not sure exactly what his calling is now, but a year later in my mission, I got to see him go to the temple with his wife and his three kids. And that was a very special experience for me. So now, how did my mission change me? That was the subject that I had been given for this talk. And one thing is that repentance isn't just for people that are sick. Repentance isn't just for people that are sinners. Repentance is for everybody. So while I was on my mission, repentance was a huge deal for me and for all my companions. And I got to witness the repentance of many of my companions when we'd get in an argument, we would try and solve the situation. We'd try and figure out what was going on. And almost always we figured it out, and almost always we got out of it. And it was good. One thing I realized on my mission is that we are never perfect. No one in the world is perfect. And everybody has to make up for that imperfection with work. I love the scripture in Romans 3:23 that says we all fall short of the glory of God, because we all do fall short of that glory. We can't attain this this objective. But Jesus Christ is the filler of that gap. We have a huge gap in between us and perfection, and we can only make that with the atonement of Jesus Christ. I had one of my companions who was somebody a little bit more stubborn in his life, and he didn't enjoy doing missionary work, actually. He was on his mission to be on a mission, and he didn't have that motivation. And I was with him when he had about 3 months left on his mission, and he decided that he just wanted to play around for the rest of his mission. And I'm kind of a passive person, so I kind of let him do whatever he wanted to do for a while. For about 3 weeks, he did just whatever he wanted to do. He watched movies on his mission. It was very interesting. But after a while, I started talking with him about why he came on a mission. And I started to figure out what his motivations were. And I tried to convince him that we should go do real missionary work. We should go do real things to help people in this neighborhood. And this same week, my mission president had an interview with him. And he had an interview with me as well. And he said, Elder Ivy, I'd like you to pray for your companion that he can have a baptism for the end of his mission, that he can have somebody that has been prepared so that he can have a great experience at the end of his mission. And my mission president prayed for it, and I prayed for it. And I tried to get my companion to pray for it. I don't know if he did, but we continued to work for that, and we started working, and we started going into the field. And we met a man who who's very, very intelligent. He had been in the church for about 4 years, taking different lessons, going to seminary, going to institute. And he was super ready to be baptized, just one of the most prepared people I had ever seen on my mission. But he was afraid to be baptized because he was afraid to leave his parents and his family. And I remember very vividly the very first lesson we had with him. He was very afraid of getting baptized because his parents were not, they were Protestant, and they did not want people to get baptized outside of their church. And so I remember sharing a scripture with him. I believe it's in Matthew 10, verse 19, that says we can't remember God unless we leave our family, our friends, and everything to have that relationship with God. And I shared this scripture with him, and I told him that if he leaves his family to be baptized, he will receive all these things and 100 times more things. I'm translating things into English from French, but anyway. basically, he understood that subject, that principle. And he decided he wanted to be baptized in a few weeks. And my companion finished his mission 2 weeks after this person had been baptized. And it was a very great experience for me. And he's now going to go on a mission, which is a very special experience as well. I'm not sure where he's going, but I'd be very excited to figure that out. Before my mission, I wasn't the best reader. I didn't read the scriptures all that much. I didn't read any books, really. I didn't like reading at all. And that was one of the things that really stopped me from progressing spiritually. And I got onto my mission, and I realized I was a little bit behind all the other missionaries because I hadn't been reading my scriptures. I hadn't been studying the scriptures. I hadn't been studying in seminary, you know, all those things like that. And I'd like to encourage everybody here who's not reading their scriptures to read them, because It's very important. It's something that will bring the Spirit into your life, even if you read just one verse every day. So another thing that changed my life from my mission is learning about the atonement. Something you learn about while you're on your mission is the atonement. It helps you. It helps you with everything. The atonement is made for every purpose, and it fills in every problem that we could have. And I got to learn how to use the atonement in my life and not just watch it happen in the lives of others. And now the next question was, how did my mission change the lives of others? I had two different areas in my mission where I had two different couples that that got married and got baptized. I'd like to share their story. So one, I'm going to call him Jimmy, and the other one I'm going to call him Dave. But that's not their real names. They had very Tahitian names. Anyway, Jimmy was the first person that I got to witness being baptized. He was a troublemaker in his life. He was about 26 years old, and his girlfriend was 18 years old, which means they met at a very young age, and they already had a kid, and she was 2 years old. And so Jimmy was very, very disobedient to his parents, very disobedient to the law, and he actually was at the point where he stole things from people all the time. And we knew about that, me and my companion, and so we tried to, teaching him about these things. And he was very difficult to convince, although he was somewhat intelligent. He could understand our lessons, he could read, but he didn't understand what the atonement was and how it could help him change his life. So I left that area, and my companion continued teaching him. And about 2 months later, he got baptized with his wife, at the same time as his wife. So now we'll go to Dave, and we'll come back to Jimmy later. Dave got baptized with his wife, and they were already married when we came to them, when we came to talk to them. And Dave was in the world as well. He was somebody who drank a lot of alcohol, who smoked a lot of weed, who just did everything that he could to ruin his life, really. He didn't want to be alive, honestly. And he tried to do a bunch of things. And he's actually from Bora Bora, my first sector, and my first area. And he actually had a huge criminal record, I guess you could say, from Bora Bora, where he was counted as a part of a group of people that killed somebody and had very brutally killed them. And he decided to change his life after that. He decided that he didn't want to continue being a criminal. And turns out he actually wasn't guilty of killing this person, but they did put him on parole, and he was stuck on an island that he didn't live on, so that he could go to the police officer office every day, every week, really. And he had to report there every single week just so that they know that he's not gone. And so he decided to change his life, and he got baptized while I was with him, while I was teaching him. And he changed his life completely from that time. So now we'll go back to Jimmy. And Jimmy, a few months later, after he got baptized, he didn't go to church all that often. He didn't continue following the lessons of the missionaries. And he didn't really have much of a base in the gospel. He didn't have much of a foundation. And he instead decided to cheat on his wife, to just ruin his life and continue to steal things, continue to be a criminal. And it was not a great experience for him. And I talked to him at the end of my mission, just before I left, and he was very sad. He was very depressed for a long time. And that really impacted me because I wanted him to be happy and I wanted him to be in the temple, but he couldn't go. And so that was very sad for me. And we'll go back to Dave, because Dave, he's still going to church. He now has a calling in the church. He's now doing lots of stuff with his family that is good things at the church. And he actually goes with the missionaries all the time to teach the lessons. And so there's these two very different stories where they started out the same, two people that are very, very in the world, very not making good decisions, who change their lives and become people that are very good people, but then one goes back to where he was and one stays where he was going to go. And we all have choices in our lives. We all have these choices between go back to where we were before or stay where we are now and continue forward. And I felt like my efforts were vain at some point in my mission. When I was teaching Jimmy, you know, he wasn't somebody who really listened to our lessons. He wasn't somebody that really wanted to hear what we were saying. But when it was somebody like Dave, that was when I realized the purpose of my mission. That was when I realized why I was there on my mission. One thing I learned is that repentance is something that never ends. Repentance is something we have to do every day, every minute of every day, and it never stops. So one last subject that I'd like to talk about is how a mission can change your life, how a mission can change everyone's life in this room. So a mission is a very unique thing for everyone. People get called to Switzerland, people get called to France, people get called to Africa, or sometimes people get called to the Pacific Islands. And your mission is very specific to you. If you ever get called on a mission, you'll probably learn this, but the apostles, when they call somebody who goes on a mission, they go into a little room with a TV screen, and the TV screen has you on the TV screen. And President Eyring, when he does his calling for the missionaries, he'll actually talk with the missionary, or the picture of the missionary. And he will personalize it. He becomes somebody who loves that person. And he gets to the point where he'll learn as much as he can about you from your papers. And then he takes a little pin and he pins it on the wall. No, I'm just kidding. He does not play a pin the tail on the donkey. He actually thinks about it for a while, and then he will follow the Spirit, and he'll put you where you need to be. And I have a very strong testimony of that, because there were a lot of people in Tahiti, not just investigators, not just people that aren't members or members, but all of my companions. Each one of them, I had a point where I could help them. I had a point where I was the only person that could help them get through these things. And that was a real testimony to me, that I could help each of these people, and I could teach each of them how to take part of the atonement. And another reason why you could go on a mission, another reason why I'd encourage everyone here to go on a mission, is that it is one of the fastest ways to learn how to be an adult, how to be a good person in your life. Why is it the fastest way? Because teaching is the fastest way to learn. I learned that in high school when I started teaching people little things in the church, just all of my knowledge that I had, which was not all that much. I tried teaching people what I knew, and I bore testimony to them, and I helped them with their lives, and I ended up learning more than the person I was teaching. And and that's why going on a mission is a commandment for men. And the prophets have always encouraged women to go on missions as well. But I think that every person can profit from a mission, can learn a lot of things from their missions. And I'd like to encourage all of you to go on a mission, but as well to prepare for your mission, not just to go on a mission, to read the scriptures every day, to not just read them, but to study them, to learn what they're trying to say. And if you prepare for your mission now, then these things will help you in the future. And another thing is you can prepare for the end of your mission now. So save up money, save up for college and things like that. I know a lot of missionaries that get back from their missions and they fall back into whatever they were doing before because they don't have anything to do. And they feel like they don't have anything to do and they just get lost. So prepare for the end of your mission now. And these are the subjects that I was given to talk about, and I'd like to bear testimony about them. I know that these things are very, very true, that that the church is a great way to learn about life, to continue to progress, and to always repent. And I know that this church is the only true church on the earth, and that Jesus Christ is the head of this church, and that he's the only person that can help everyone here become a better person in their lives. And I guess it's time to bear my testimony in French. I can't really bear my testimony in Tahitian. I never really learned how, but I'm going to do it in French. Je sais que cette église est la seule vraie église sur la terre. Je sais que Jésus-Christ est notre sauveur et qu'il nous aime et qu'il a un plan pour nous. Il nous guide à chaque étape dans notre vie. Et le Saint-Esprit est une des plus importantes choses dans notre vie. Et quand nous écoutons le Saint-Esprit, nous pouvons atteindre les objectifs que nous voulons atteindre. Et je sais que Jésus-Christ est notre Sauveur et notre Rédempteur. Et ces choses, je dis en nom de Jésus-Christ. Amen.
Forward, ever called to serve our King. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I was going to thank Brother Roberts for calling me, but he's not here, so I don't get to thank him. As I was hearing Ben talking or speaking today, I wanted to change my talk, but that's not the topic I was given. He did a great job of why to be a missionary and how to be a missionary. The topic I was given today corresponds to that, and it's, I have a work for thee, and I'm taking some of my information from a talk by Elder John C. Pinneker Jr. in the April conference of this year. When I was pondering about what to say, I read through all the information, and I had no feeling of the Spirit at all. I had no idea what I was going to talk about. This went along for more than a week, and I said, I'm in trouble. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. I think I'm putting the work in, but I'm not getting the Spirit to talk to me. And then finally, the middle of this last week, it came to me, and I knew exactly what I needed to speak about. In Moses 1:6, we read, "And I have a work for thee, Moses, my son, and thou art in the similitude of my only begotten, and my only begotten is and shall be the Savior, for he is full of grace and truth. But there is no God beside me, and all things are present with me, for I know them all." The Lord was speaking unto Moses. He was giving him a work to do, but then also saying to me, was saying to him that I know all things, so you can come to me for help. President Spencer W. Kimball taught, quote, "Before we came to earth, we were given certain assignments, which we do not now remember the particulars. This does not alter the glorious reality of what we once agreed to. What an ennobling truth. Our Heavenly Father has specific and significant things for you and me to accomplish." End quote. I love turning to the scriptures for answers. And in Ephesians 2:10, we find out a little bit about our part in the plan of salvation. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them." Sometimes we may ask, why me? I know there's somebody else that can do this better than I can, someone who has experience with this. Again, I turn to the scriptures, Doctrine and Covenants 35:13. "Wherefore, I call upon the weak things of the world, those who are unlearned and despised, to thresh the nations by the power of the Spirit." So I said, awesome, great. All I have to do is to ask God, and he'll give to me liberally, right? Just as we read, as Joseph Smith read in the Bible in James. Well, I was thinking maybe that's not quite everything we need to do. So again, I turned to the scriptures for clarification. In Doctrine and Covenants 58, it reads, starting in verse 26, "For behold, it is not meet that I should command in all things. For he that is compelled in all things is the same as a slothful and not wise servant. Wherefore, he receiveth no reward." And the next verses are what we probably remember hearing. "Verily, I say, men should be anxiously engaged in a good cause, and do many things of their own free will, and bring to pass much righteousness. For the power is in them, wherein they are agents unto themselves. And inasmuch as men do good, they shall in no wise lose the reward." Then I found something that really hit me hard. It was by President Russell M. Nelson, and he explained, and I quote again, "The Lord has more in mind for you than you have in mind for yourself. You have been reserved and preserved for this time and place. The Lord needs you to change the world. As you accept and follow his will for you, you will find yourself accomplishing the impossible." So how do we know what work to perform and what work that God intends for us? And this is where, in the talk, Elder John C. Pinneger Jr., he put out 4 points that we can do in our lives to know what God intends to do for us to do and how to do it. And the first three are, first, focus on others. Second, discover spiritual gifts. Discover and develop spiritual gifts. Third, make use of adversity. And the first point, we can follow Christ, who went about doing good. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, we learn a little about Jesus Christ and his life. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were opposed of the devil, for God was with him. In 2 Nephi chapter 26, 24, we read, he doeth not anything save it be for the benefit of the world, for he loveth the world, even he that layeth down his own life that he may draw all men unto him. Wherefore he commandeth none that they shall not partake of his salvation. And the second point, Elder Pinneger's message, I turn to Doctrine and Covenants 46 to discover and develop spiritual gifts. For all have not every gift given to them. For there are many gifts. Unto every man there is given a gift by the Spirit. To some is given one, to some is given another, that all may be profited thereby. And listening to Elder Ivy's talk, he was given some of these gifts to be able to help those in the Tahiti mission progress and move towards our Savior. As we discover our gifts, we have the responsibility to develop them. We have an example of this also in the scriptures in Matthew 25, 14 through 13. It's the story of the talents. Yet I ask, will we be the ones that increase the talents that are given unto us? The third point is make use of adversity. Our trials help us to discover and prepare for the work Heavenly Father has for us. Alma gives an example of this, as he explained in Mosiah 23:10, and I will start with verse 9. But remember, the iniquities of King Noah and his priest, and I myself was caught in snare, and did many things that were abominable in the sight of the Lord, which caused me sore repentance. Nevertheless, after much tribulation, the Lord did hear my cries and did answer my prayers, and has made me an instrument in his hands, and bringing so many of you to the knowledge of truth. And the fourth one brings me back to the beginning, is rely on God. We can then ask him. When we ask him with real intent, he will reveal our divine assignments to us. Once we discover them, he will help us with those assignments. I was thinking of, great, this is all good information. How did the Lord do this for me? Or can I think of something in my life where he did this for me? And I'm pondering this. I thought back to when my wife, Diamira, and I we'd been married just over 2 years, and the brother in the state came to us and asked us if we would serve a stake mission, as stake missionaries. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. And he goes, in the Spanish branch. And I said, whoa, I don't know if I can do that. Being me, I'm like, I don't want to turn down a calling. So I said, well, can I think about it? He says, I can think about it. How much time do you need? I'm like, how about 2 weeks? He's like, 2 weeks? And I go, yeah, I really need to think about this. And he says, okay, I'll give you 2 weeks. So after a week, because he gave me 2 weeks, after a week he called me and says, so what do you think? And I said, you know, brother, I don't know yet. I've been praying. I've been reading. I don't have an answer yet. Can you give me the other week? And he did. So he gave me the other week. And he came back to me and I said, absolutely. I spoke with the Amir and we definitely decided, because he had told us, you guys, I am inspired that you guys need to be called for this calling at this time. And I said, are you sure? He says, yes. And I go, okay, we accept then. So we went. I was missionary before, so I said, well, we can do this. My wife wanted to serve a mission, and she hadn't at that time yet, so we accepted this. We're serving in the branch. We've been there for about 3 months. The brother from the state came back to us again and said, well, how are you guys doing? How's the branch? I go, oh, we love it. It's really good. I'm learning little phrases in Spanish. I'm doing okay. And he goes, what? He goes, I thought you served a mission, a Spanish-speaking mission. I go, no, I did not. He goes, why did you accept? He goes, because, brother, you told us you were inspired that we needed to serve. Well, brothers and sisters, I did become fluent in Spanish. We served just about 2.5 years in the Spanish branch there, and we loved every minute of it. The Lord prepared us. The Lord gave us the information they needed. I know and believe that one of the talents I was given was to learn a language. The Lord prepares us. All we have to do is accept and then do the work. And I leave that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Elder Ivy and Brother Anderson. What a wonderful meeting. Especially enjoyed hearing the testimony focused on the Savior. I think we could all understand that one word in your testimony of Jesus Christ. So that was wonderful. We will close today's meeting by singing hymn number 215, Ring Out Wild Bells, and then our benediction will be offered by Brother Graham Shaw.
Father, we have assembled this past hour to partake of the sacrament, renewing our covenants, to be taught of thy gospel. We're grateful indeed for this opportunity and many opportunities given to us through service. We're grateful for thy love for us. We pray that we might respond accordingly. Wilt thou be with us throughout this day, throughout this week, till we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.